What is the hardest test that you have ever taken? Maybe you can remember one from school or work. And when you think about that test, let me ask you this question. Did you pass the test or did you fail it? Yeah. How did you feel when you passed that really difficult test? You know, the victory, the joy that you had. How did you feel when you failed that test? I want you to consider those things today. We're going to be looking at the sacrifice of Isaac out of the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Grab your Bible and come on back. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Trust and pray that your day is going well. Just a moment ago, I asked you, what was the hardest test that you have ever taken? Now, for some of you, you could sit there and say, man, I can tell you what it is right now. I remember it well. And you had one of two results. When it was over with, you either passed that test or you failed it. Some of you know what the joy was when you passed the test, all the hard work that you had put into it and the sense of fulfillment that it gave you. Now, there's probably been a time or two that you had a big test like that and you failed the test. How did that make you feel? And that's when you feel kind of depressed. You're like, oh man, you know, I should have known this, or I should have been more prepared. Whatever the circumstance may be, all of us have been in those points and times where we have had a test, whether it's been in school, whether it's been on the job, or whether it's just been simply a test in life. Today, we're going to look at a very special test that was given to Abraham. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, on over to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Verse 3, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Verse 6, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here I am, son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that you truly are our provision. Lord, I just pray that as we continue to journey on this life's course, that you would do just some really special things for us. Lord, I pray that when the testing time comes, that we will truly be prepared to pass the test in a manner that is pleasing to you. Father, may a special blessing be upon each and every person that will join our Bible study tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you would give me the words that you and you alone truly would be lifted up and exalted during this time. So Lord, teach us from your word this evening is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a little while ago when I asked you about what was the hardest test that you had ever taken, most of you probably couldn't answer that question in the same way that Abraham did in the passage that we're dealing with in Genesis chapter 22 this evening. Man, that was a test that when it came down to it, how would you like to have been in the place of Abraham? Now, in the story, God tested Abraham. You know, why do you think that God put that test upon him? You know, why do you think it is that God puts us through some tests today? Verse 1 of our text says this. It says, "Now it came to pass that after these things that God tested Abraham." This leaves nothing to the imagination. You know, we don't have to sit back and say, well, what was God trying to do? Was God trying to test him? What was the story? We know it says it right here in black and white in verse 1 that this was a test. Now, Abraham didn't know that it was a test when God first approached him and he said to him, what I want you to do is take your only son Isaac and take him up and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. I think many of us would have probably been going, well, did I hear that right? Did God really just ask me to take the son whom I love and go up and sacrifice him? Now, when you think about that, I want to pose this question to you today. Do you think that God still tests his people today? Do you think that there are going to be circumstances and situations that God will allow in our lives that are going to be a test to see how we're going to react to them, to see if we're going to trust in his power and his love and his mercy and his grace? Do you think that there are going to be those times? Some of you are sitting there going, oh, absolutely. I know there are because I've been in them in the past. I may be in one currently, and I know that there's going to be future things that will test my faith, that will see where I am when it comes to how I truly believe in God and his will and his power. Okay. Think about testing for just a moment. I want to carry you over to the book of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Again, you don't have to turn there, but James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Once again, here in these passages in the book of James, we see that there is going to be testing. You know, the passages we're looking at with Abraham and Isaac are Old Testament passages, but over here in the book of James, these are New Testament passages, and they're still referring to trials and testings, and also it says that it's going to do something. It's going to produce patience. You know, and it says, and let that patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the bottom line is, I do believe that God is still going to allow things that are going to test our faith along the way. Now, some of you can sit back and think of things that you know that God had done that. God has tested your faith. Some of you can sit back and say, you know, I did great. I passed the test and you did so with joy. And some of you can sit back and say, you know what? I think I crashed and burned on that one. I didn't do so well. But along the way, even you know, pass or fail, God is teaching you some incredible things along the way. Now, I've always said this. If you take a test and fail it, what generally happens afterwards? Generally, you get to take the test again. So if you've been in that situation before and you didn't do so well, maybe you failed the test, be alert because there's probably going to be another test in that same area that God is wanting to strengthen your life and in that same area that he's wanting to draw you close to him. So if you failed it, listen, don't take that to heart in a bad way, but be prepared for when the test comes along again. Now, as we continue on with our text, yeah, God tested Abraham, and this was a very, very difficult test. You know, how did God test Abraham, and why was this a very difficult test? Because he had just asked him to sacrifice, and notice what it says, his son, his only son, whom he loved. Now, I understand, because I'm a parent as well. I understand how parents love their children. Could you imagine having to walk in Abraham's shoes and God saying, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sacrifice your child that you love dearly. And I want you to do that for me. Yeah. Would you be able to do that? Yeah, that's a really, really tough question to answer, because, I mean, if you were super spiritual, which most of us are not, yeah, you would probably sit back and say, well, you know, even if you were super spiritual, you'd probably say, I'd still have difficulty with that type of a test. I don't know whether I could do that or not. So this is just helping you to see how difficult a test that Abraham was being put to task with in our passages in Genesis chapter 22 today. Now, you know, besides being Abraham's only son, there were also some special things about Isaac. You have to remember that just a week or so ago, we were talking about the fact that God's blessing was going to be upon Isaac. Remember when we talked about Ishmael as well as Isaac? I believe that may have been last week that we talked about that. Now, think about it. God said his blessing was going to be with Isaac. Now, that kind of contradicts what God is asking Abraham to do right now. I can imagine Abraham saying, well, God, you said your blessing would be upon Isaac. Now you're asking me to go up and sacrifice him, to take his life, you know, specifically for you. Now, again, that can create some confusion along the way. How many times in the spiritual testings of our life have we been confused? And we're sitting there saying, well, that just doesn't really sound like something God would ask. It seems a little bit strange. Now, again, you have to remember that Abraham talked specifically with God. I mean, there was no doubt whatsoever about what he was asking him to do and what was going to take place. So the biggest question is, how was it that Abraham responded to the testing? How did he respond to what God told him when it came down to sacrificing his only son, Isaac? Let's go over in our text to Genesis 22, to verse 3. And it says this, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. So along the way, what's going on here is that Abraham so far is being completely and 100% obedient along the way. Could you imagine what must have been going through his mind as he was getting prepared? You know, it says in verse 3 that, you know, he pretty much prepared, lined up the journey. It says he was taking two of his young men or two of his servants with him. You know, he told Isaac, we're going on a little road trip today, son. And it says that he went out and he was splitting that wood. I can only imagine what must have been going through his mind, because remember, he was supposed to offer him as a sacrifice. So for there to be a burnt offering, there would have to be wood, there would have to be fire. So we're seeing Abraham amidst the command of God being faithful and obedient. And I can only stress, I can only imagine what must have been going through his heart, what must have been going through his mind as he was making those preparations. So let me ask you this, at least at that point, how do you think that Abraham was able to respond in the manner in which he responded? You know, many of us would probably sit back and say, well, it's because he had such a close relationship with God, because he walked with God. He understood and knew God's faithfulness. He understood and knew God's provision. And regardless of the difficulty of the task, Abraham went about being as obedient as he possibly could. Now, that didn't say that his mind wasn't racing, 500 different ways. But I believe that the reason Abraham was able to respond in the way that he did was because of the close walk that he had with God, because of the close relationship that he had with God. Now, you can see how that is applicable today. You know, when you think about you and I going through trials and you and I going through testings, you know, how is it that we're going to respond in the best and the most godly manner? The only way you're going to be able to do that is to be able to have that close walk and that close talk with our Lord and Savior. My question today is do you have that? Are you walking with him? Are you hearing his voice? Yeah, even when the request seems like something that might even that may sound strange, or maybe even something that we don't want to do. So let me ask you personally, how do you think you would have responded if you were in Abraham's place? How would do you think you would have reacted if God would have come to you and said, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and sacrifice your only child, the one that you love dearly, the one that you take care of, and the one that you're concerned about. And I want you to go sacrifice him. What would you say? What would you do? How would you react? Now, for most of us, we can sit there and say what we think we might do, how we think we might react. But you know what? We would never know unless we were placed in that situation. And God knows that as well. That's the reason why there are testings along the way in your life and in my life as we serve and as we follow our trusted and providing Lord. Okay? Now, so you got to think, Abraham, according to the text, had a 3-day journey to the place called Mount Moriah. As he made that journey, what do you think was going through his mind? You know, I mean, yeah, in the early going, I'm imagining this is weighing heavy on him as he's chopping that wood up and as he's making the plans and, you know, telling his two servants, hey, I want you guys to go with me. Isaac, pack your bag. We're going to be going on a little day trip. All the while knowing what he was supposed to do. Yet Isaac didn't know what was going on. The servant boys didn't know what was going on. Could you imagine how he must have pondered that in his heart and in his mind on that 3-day trip? Most of us know and understand what it's like to have to wait on something, and we're not very, very patient. You know, when you've ordered something and, you know, you're tracking it around with Amazon and it's all kinds of different places and it's not getting there on time, and we get a little bit anxious along the way. But think, for 3 days, he had to ponder that. I kind of liken that to the doctor's office calling you on Friday at 5 o'clock and leaving you a message saying, hey, we got your lab work. Why don't you call us back? And then all weekend you sit back and you fret about, well, it must be something. If it was all clear, they would have just said everything is okay. And then so you worry about it all Saturday and then all Sunday. And then the first thing Monday morning when the doctor's office opens, you call and they said, oh, I just want to let you know your blood work was great. You know, then you're like, man, I fretted all weekend over this thing. Why didn't you just tell me that on the phone? Why didn't you just let me know? But yet, Abraham is knowing that he is making a journey to sacrifice, to take the life of his only son, to sacrifice him for our Lord. I can imagine he probably looked at Isaac differently in that 3 days. There were probably times when Isaac may have laid down to go to sleep that Abraham just looked at him and said, my son, I love you so much. And I'm sure there was that inner battle about, you know, what do I do? Why am I in this position? Why am I at this particular place? Why is God asking me to do such a thing? And for 3 days, he wound up having to ponder that. Now, in verses 5-8, we see them arriving at Mount Moriah. And there are a couple of very bold statements of faith that Abraham makes. Okay, look with me at beginning with verse 5 and going through verse 8. And I want you to see if you can pinpoint those bold statements of faith that Abraham makes. Genesis 22:5 says, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now you have to picture that scene. You know, Abraham knows what's coming. Isaac does not. He leaves the two servants there at the camp. He says, we're going to go on up and worship. And all the while, you know, Abraham's heart's probably pounding. He knows that the time is getting closer. And then Isaac, being intelligent, astute, he looks around. He says, well, Dad, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but we don't have any, we don't have a lamb to put on for a burnt offering. Yeah, at this point, Abraham doesn't say, well, Isaac, sorry, bud, you're it. No, he didn't say that to him. Yeah, maybe he was holding out hope. Maybe he was hoping that he wouldn't have to do what he was supposed to do. Maybe it was he didn't just want to tell Isaac right there. But he says to him in verse 8, he said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And it says, so the two of them went together. They continued their journey to the place that God was leading Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Now, I've often asked us as we do our Bible study to look for some examples to follow, you know, and it's important for us to speak out and declare our faith in times of testing. This is a phenomenal example for us to follow. You know, even though it was going to be something that was painful to Abraham, he was willing to do what God commanded him to do. You know, even though the pain was probably so present in his heart that we can't even imagine it, he was still going to be faithful. He was still going to be obedient. What a tremendous example for you and I to follow. Prayerfully and hopefully, God won't ask us to sacrifice in the same manner in which he asked Abraham to do with his son. But the question is, would you be willing to do so if God did ask you to do that? Again, a very, very tough question. Now, yeah, how was Abraham's second statement of faith also a great word of prophecy about the coming Messiah that we read about in verse 8? Let me go back and read that verse 8 to you. And it says this, as Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. That was his second faithful and profound statement. Now, I also want to carry you over to the book of John chapter 1, verse 29. And John 1:29 tells us, as soon as I get there, I'll let you know. John chapter 1, verse 29. Sometimes technology lets you down. John 1, 29 says this. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, remember, he was talking about a lamb there. We're talking about the fact that remember, Isaac asked Abraham, he said, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? You know, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but we don't have a lamb." You know, it's so ironic when we think about this, that we picture how, you know, Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. Remember, this was Old Testament day. This was the day when they were still having to do burnt offering for the remission of sin, because Jesus hadn't conquered the death and the grave yet. He hadn't come and live incarnate. The crucifixion, burial, and resurrection had not taken place as of yet. So remember, in the Old Testament, salvation, it was referred to as being counted as righteous to them. Okay. So, you know, there had to be a lamb, the sacrificial lamb. For you and I in this age of grace, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, through his death, burial, and resurrection, that provides for us redemption of sin and provides for us an eternal home in heaven. Well, back in that day, that hadn't happened yet. So people for the remission of sin would have to go essentially to the temple. They would have to carry a burnt offering or carry a sacrifice for a burnt offering for the remission of sin. And essentially, Isaac has just asked him, he says, "We've got everything except the lamb. We need a lamb for the burnt offering." And then Abraham's comment to him out of verse 8 of Genesis 22 was simply this: "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." In other words, you know, at least at that particular moment, Abraham knew that the lamb was going to be Isaac. He was going to be the one who would be sacrificed. And it says, so they continued on their journey together. Okay. You know, think about the comparisons that you can make between Isaac and Jesus. Now, understand my heart. I am not by any stretch rendering any sort of deity to Isaac, but you can see where we're talking about the sacrificial lamb. You know, he was talking about the sacrifice. Yeah, even Isaac himself said, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" For you and I, the sacrificial lamb is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who conquered sin, death, and hell. Man, what a glorious victory that truly is. Okay? Now, there came a point when Abraham was continuing on, you know, in verses 9 through 11, it talks about how he gets everything prepared. And then go with me over to verses 9 through 11, because it tells us, it says, and then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar. So picture all this going on. He builds an altar there, and he places the wood in order. He gets it all set up. And then it says, and then he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, you probably don't have to be the smartest person in the world. If you were in Isaac's position, I believe at this point, Isaac knows he is the one who is going to be the sacrificial lamb in this particular case. It says that Abraham bound him and he put him on the wood of the altar. It says in verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. In other words, he's going to be obedient. I can picture what it must have been like, the pain in Abraham's heart, the distress, the despair. I can imagine the despair, the distress in Isaac's mind and in his thought. He's like, what is going on here? You know, my dad, whom I love and I thought he loved me, is getting ready to kill me. And I can picture Abraham bringing that knife up to bring it down and to take the life of his, as the word says, his only son. And about the time that he gets ready to go forward and plunge that knife into Isaac, we see in verse 11, it says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Verse 12 says, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. So he stopped him. Abraham's probably saying, thank you, Lord. I didn't want to do this anyway. Thank you. But then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, why he stopped him. He says this. Let me go back. I'll read the entirety of verse 12. It says, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In other words, you know what God said? God said, you passed the test. He says, I'm not going to make you go through with it. I know now that you were willing, ready, and able to do exactly what I ask you to do. So I'm not going to put you through that. I'm not going to have you kill Isaac whatsoever. You know, and you think about it. What did God say that he learned about Abraham? He learned that he was going to be faithful. He learned that he was going to be obedient. But the only way he could learn that was through the trial. The only way that Abraham could understand what his muster for the Lord would be for him to be totally obedient to what God had called and asked him to do. You know, in what ways do the trials of life help us in growing our faith? How are the things, the tough things that you're going through right now, helping you to stretch and grow that faith that you might walk closer with the Lord? I can only imagine what that must have been like. You know, it says that Abraham named that place in verses 13 and 14, Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. Okay, think about it for a minute. Has the Lord not provided in such a gracious way? Has God not taken care of all of our needs? I know that in my life, that's been something that particularly as of late, you know, last couple of months, you know, I've paused and I've looked back and I have seen where God not only has created a plan, God has taken care of the plan, God has paid for it, he has made provision in every way, shape, form, or fashion. And I still scratch my head and say, I don't even know how you did it, but you did. You know, I know that I couldn't have come up with that plan, but God did. I know I couldn't have come up with the provision to see it through, but yet God did. And man, I just sit back and I just say, thank you, Lord. And I really appreciate that. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, in this case, in the case of our text, what did the Lord provide? What did God provide in place of Isaac? It says that when he looked up, he saw a ram that was stuck in a thicket by its horns. And there was God's provision. Now, I don't know. You know, I feel confident that it wasn't there to start with. It wasn't until God allowed Abraham to look up that he saw and he said, right there is the Lord's provision. That should help each and every one of us to also begin to look around for God's provision in our lives. When you're in a tough spot, when you're in a tough test, follow number one, follow what God has asked you to do, what he's leading you to do. And along the way, particularly when it comes to those things that seem heartbreaking, like it did for Abraham in the situation with Isaac, begin to look around for the sacrifice, for the provision that God is going to provide to be able to see his plan through. You see, remember, they went up there to sacrifice unto the Lord, and God stopped him from sacrificing Isaac, but he did provide him an alternative sacrifice so that they could worship just as they went up there initially to do. You know, what has God provided for us that we might be saved? You know, he has provided Jesus Christ. He has provided the resurrection. He has provided heaven. And he gives us each and every tool that we need to be able to withstand the temptations and the wiles of the devil. The question is, are we looking for God's provision in our lives? Are we looking for God's provision in the testings that are coming our way? You know, now, if I were to ask you, could you give a testimony of how Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, how he has provided for you in a time of trial or testing? You know, for most people that I talk to, they can say, yeah, I can tell you and start giving examples, one right after the other, of how God provided. Folks, let me tell you something. God is faithful. He was faithful in the days of Abraham and Isaac. He was faithful in the days of Jesus, and he is faithful in yours and my day as we go forward. When the testings come, God will provide. Listen, do you need prayer today for a trial that's going on in your life? Do you need that type of provision from God? Listen, God says if we ask for it, he'll provide it. We need to start checking out the thorn thickets around our situation to see if God has provided the sacrifice necessary for us to continue to go forward in keeping with his will. We're going to pray for that exact thing here in just a moment. But before I close this out this evening, I want to go ahead and give you our Bible readings for this week. This week, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 24 through Genesis chapter 27. It's Genesis chapter 24 through Genesis chapter 27. And next week, we're going to discuss Esau sells his birthright out of the book of Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. I know a lot of people have heard that passage, and some of you remember it. But next week, we're going to be discussing Esau selling his birthright. Also, just as a reminder before we pray, don't forget we are in the process of collecting the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Missions. We'll be collecting that through the end of the month. If you feel led to contribute to this, you can just on your envelope, you can write Annie Armstrong, and we'll make sure it gets where it needs to be. You can do that if you're watching. You can give online. You can designate that. You can say that you want that to go to the North American Mission offering, or it'll be the Annie Armstrong offering. Either one, we'll know what it is. Once again, all these funds go to keep our missionaries on the field in the United States, Canada, as well as Mexico. So if you haven't thought about it, begin praying about what the Lord would have you to do in regard to supporting our missionaries. And we can do that as a church, and we look forward to what God will do through those particular missionaries. So remember, through the whole month, the rest of this month, we're going to be collecting that Annie Armstrong offering, and then we'll make sure it gets exactly where it needs to be. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we know that there are times when there are trials and there are testings in our lives. And Father, most of us have never been put in a position such as Abraham has been put into. Most of us have never had to be at a point where you have asked us something that as great as what you ask Abraham to do in regard to sacrificing Isaac. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to be faithful, not only in the little things, but also in the big things that you call upon us and ask us to do. Lord, help us to always be mindful that you are our provider. You are the Jehovah Jireh. You provide everything that we need. Father, help us as we worship and serve you, and as we come together to pray for one another, to trust Jehovah Jireh in our times of trial, in our times of tribulation. Lord, may we learn from these testings so that we might not only draw closer to you, but Lord, when those trials and testings come back around once again, that we will have the opportunity to say, I'm going to trust God because he truly is my provision. Lord, just help us. Help us in the trials. Help us in the tribulations to magnify you. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. May God be with you through the testings of life.